Come to order. Will the chief clerk please?
Anderson, Bagby, Barbudo, Berger, Blake, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Bird, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman excused, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller excused, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Peterson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlek, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Anderson, Childers, Throne, 58 present, 2 excused.
Prayer today is again by Reverend Trudy Robinson from First United Methodist Church in Cheyenne. Reverend Robinson.
Thank you, and thank you again for having me with you these days this week. It has been a privilege and a pleasure. I'd like to include in our prayers this morning the family of Levi Foley, who passed away. I want to share with you that services will be at Wiederspons at 10 a.m. Saturday. So let us pray. Loving God, what a week you have given us, and what opportunities. Early mornings, full schedules, and long days. You have blessed us with work to do and the ability to accomplish it. And with each finished task and successful endeavor, we give you thanks for the meaning it adds to our lives. And for each failed attempt and thwarted effort, we ask that you give us understanding so that we might learn what those experiences tell us about ourselves and each other. Loving God, we know that this week has been a different week for the families of those who have died in the service to this country. We lift them in prayer, especially the Foleys. We know that they work on our behalf in so many ways. Hold them tight. Holy God, we thank you for the friends that you have blessed us to work beside. And with each friend who helps us accomplish more than we can on our own, we give you thanks for the power of relationships. Forgive us for those strangers we have met and did not allow to become friends, for the times we saw those strangers as enemies, and for the lines we draw that put some in and some out. Give us the eyes of Christ so that we might see all as your children. There have been times when you surprise us with chance or circumstance. We pray that those surprises become blessings as we learn more and more to trust in you. At the end of this week, we pray that you will help us finish this day with satisfaction, and we pray that we might enter into the next week refreshed and ready to begin again the work you grant us. Not only so that we might accomplish something, not only so that we might be satisfied, but also so that we might see you in our work, so that we might have another opportunity to find meaning in what we do, to learn from our mistakes, and to make friends out of strangers and blessings out of surprises. Loving God, may you bless us with such a week. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Have a great day.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks, you too. Thanks again, Trudy.
Thank
good
you
to
very
see
much.
You.
Good morning. Mom!
Will the House please come to order? Representative Zwanitzer, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today gives me great honor to introduce one of my constituents, Dr. Dean Bartholomew from UW Family Practice Residency. He is our doctor of the day. Please welcome him.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I've got a couple of groups to introduce. First off, I'd like to welcome the Goshen County Republican women to the House of Representatives. Ladies, thank you for coming down. And then also, for me, a special treat today to have my daughters Erin and Emily down to see us, and I can't forget Miss Jeannie Wright and Ariel as well, so please welcome them.
Representative Edmonds, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 60th, I am so pleased to introduce to you from Johnson Junior High, a wonderful class that has come down today for a field trip to see how we do all this wonderful work. Let's give these awesome students a hand.
Chairman McComey, you may have privilege of...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, up in the south balcony today I have my daughter Pam, her husband Ron, my granddaughter Misty, and her husband Bobby, and they're all from Gillette.
Representative Lubnow, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not often. This, for the second time in 5 years, in the West Gallery is my lovely wife, Rita. And then down here as guest page of the day, making his third appearance as guest page of the day, Thomas Edwin Lubnow III.
Welcome, Tommy, and welcome to all of you in the gallery and the other Republican women who were not introduced specifically. As I like to say, the difference, you know, the difference between a Republican man and a Republican woman? A Republican man is frequently wrong. Welcome to the House of Representatives. Thank you for being here. Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a rare privilege today to introduce somebody who I met when I was playing a plant in Little Shop of Horrors a long, long time ago. She and her husband both work full-time. They have three wonderful children. They have the most famous Christmas house in the city of Gillette, and it's one of those houses like you see on the internet with the coordinated lights and the radio station. She's a dedicated mother and a sport mom. We spend lots of weekends as families traveling to soccer tournaments. In addition to all of that, she received her bachelor's degree from Augustana College in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Her master's degree from Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Since 1993, she's taught in Gillette schools. In her application for Teacher of the Year, commenting on student success in her application, Mrs. King stated, "This measure is different for each and every student." She continued, "The truth of the matter is that my students know that I will push them to be the best that they can be as competitors and individuals. My students realize that I care about them and truly want them to be better, to better their skills as performers or debaters." Brothers and sisters, is the 60th, the teacher, Wyoming's Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Alice King.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Lubnow, for that gracious introduction. I have to tell you, I am sincerely humbled at the opportunity to serve as Wyoming's Teacher of the Year, and I'm so honored to be standing here in front of this fine body today. It's actually a surreal experience for me. As a debate coach, I train my students about student Congress. They write and research legislation. They present it in competition. They debate it. They lobby for support. And they love it. In fact, they love it so much, they wanted to skip school today and join me. I said, that would be great, but I would like you to go to Buffalo and compete today. So they're competing today. I just want to say a quick thank you for your overwhelming support for our students and educators. It is because of the work that you do and the service and commitment that you have, that I can do what I get to do every single day, and I love it, teach students. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you, Mrs. King, for being here and for what you do for Wyoming students. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 26, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbuto.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, abandoned mine reclamation liens.
Senate File 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 14.
Senate File 14, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to cultural heritage tourism and state historic sites.
Senate File 14 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to administration of government regarding beginning agricultural producer finance authority.
Senate File 34 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to Public Service Commission regarding pipeline inspection and safety.
Senate File 44 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 49.
Senate File 49, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to the Wyoming State Board of Psychology regarding psychologist licensure.
Senate File 49 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Madam Majority Whip, would you come up, please? Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request that House Bill 88 be laid back for one day pursuant to Rule 9-3C.
And that would be Senate File 88?
Senate File 88.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Absent objection. Senate File 88 is laid back for second reading for an additional day. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to campaign finance reporting election periods.
Senate File 94, having been read two separate times, excuse me. Representative Brown, there is an amendment to Senate File 94.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 94. I wonder what that does.
We join you in that query.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Teeters.
Mr. Speaker, after discussion yesterday, we discovered that the first part of the Standing Committee Amendment was actually outside of the scope of the bill. So to protect the constitutionality of the bill, we have to delete the first part of the Standing Committee Amendment.
Representative Brown, does that refresh your memory?
That refreshes my memory, Mr. Speaker. That's exactly what we're doing. And not to fear, there's another amendment coming on, I believe it's Senate File 12, that will eventually fix that problem. So I would urge your adoption of this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 94. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has passed. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 94 and ask for your favorable consideration. As you'll recall, yesterday as part of the Standing Committee Amendment and paragraph A on page 3, we switched that individual limitation to $25,000 for the election cycle instead of $12,500 per election. With that change, as the good speaker pointed out yesterday, we do not need paragraph B on page 3, and so this amendment deletes that paragraph and sort of cleans it up. So with that, I'd take any questions.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 94. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 has passed. Senate file 94 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for a consideration is Senate file 102.
Senate file 102 introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to county officials regarding their salaries.
Senate file 102 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for a consideration is Senate file 107.
Senate file 107 introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to a court-supervised treatment program act.
Senate file 107 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 129.
Senate file 129 introduced by Senator Sessions, an act relating to juvenile justice amendments.
Senate file 129 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 135.
Senate file 135 introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to environmental quality risk management.
Senate file 135 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate file 143.
Senate file 143 introduced by Senator Von Flattern, an act relating to safety marking structures that obstruct flight.
Senate file 143 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 4.
Senate Joint Resolution number 4 introduced by Senator Anderson, a joint resolution dealing with the black-tailed prairie dog.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 4. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment is just to try to make the resolution somewhat more accurate. It starts on page 2, line 13, where it says prairie dogs destroy all the ground cover in its habitat. The proposal is to add after destroys or consumes substantially all the ground cover in its habitat. I think that's more accurate than destroying all. And then the next amendment is down on same page on line 20, where it says this destruction or loss of ground cover is very detrimental to feed for livestock and wildlife. I think it would be more accurate statement to say that it's detrimental to feed for livestock, because it actually replaces supports an entirely separate wildlife community consisting of burrowing owls and rattlesnakes and all those sort of things. So that was just the goal of this amendment, was to make this a more accurate statement to send to those who are going to be in receipt of this resolution.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, having personal experience with the black-tailed prairie dog in another state, they will destroy the land or destroy all vegetation surrounding the prairie dog towns extensively. And I believe that the way the resolution it is worded as is more proper. I have personal experience on this, and it goes considerably past the borders of the prairie dog town in itself. So I would speak on and against this amendment.
Representative Davison, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this amendment also. I believe that prairie dogs do destroy the land, and I do think that they're detrimental to wildlife as well as livestock in areas where we have deer and antelope and all those things that feed on the same thing as the livestock. And I would hope you'd vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Shepherdson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move to divide the amendment, please. Division 1 would be lines 1 through 5, and Division 2 would be line 7.
Division 1 proposed the lines 1 through 6. How about that?
That's fine. Thank you.
And Division 2 being line 7. and it is divisible. Which division would you like to address first?
We'll do Division 1.
All righty. For your first time on Division 1, Representative Shepherdson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Division 1, I guess I don't necessarily agree with the language. They do consume it, but they destroy it too. And so I guess I'm not, don't have real strong heartburn either way on Division 1.
Anyone else on Division 1? Chairman Childers? No? Representative Chairman Landon?
Mr. Chairman, the reason I propose Division 1 is probably for the same reason that some have spoken that have opposed it, and that is personal experience. I have walked and over prairie dog towns delivering poison. I live next to a prairie dog town, and it's just not true that all the ground cover is gone. Is that prairie dog town has little annual weeds all over it. It has stubbles of this and that and little bits of grass coming up. And there's not much in some of those places in prairie dog towns. But it's not destroys all the ground cover. So this was just this amendment isn't very different. It just says destroys or consumes substantially all the ground cover. I just think that's more accurate. So that's why I propose this I just want the people who receive this to be able to read this with some credibility.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? Your second time? We are voting on Division 1 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution Number 4. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second Reading Amendment Number 1, Division 1 has failed. We're on Division 2. Representative Shepherdson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would strongly encourage your no vote on this. I understand what the good chairman of the House Labor Committee was talking about, but there are a lot of wildlife that this is detrimental to also, whether it's rabbits, deer, antelope, things like that. So I think that the more accurate statement is to leave this wildlife in there. Thank you. On and against.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having reread the proposal and striking the word wildlife, a couple of thoughts come to mind. One is that we're talking about a creature that is indigenous to the area. And number two is I read all four pages, or all three pages of the proposal. No place are we talking about the population being a threatened species. We talk about acreage, but we're not talking about the animal that's susceptible to the Endangered Species Act. It would just seem to me that maybe some figure relative to wildlife might be included.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On in favor of the amendment. Currently, under our laws, prairie dogs are wildlife, and so I guess right now we're saying one species of wildlife is detrimental to other species of wildlife, and we have that fight with wolves and elk, and I guess across all lines here in our state, but it does seem kind of silly to leave that in. So I would like to, if you take wildlife out, I think the point of the resolution is really the fear that prairie dogs cause to our industry, our agricultural industry in the state, not what they cause to the wildlife industry in the state, if you read the rest of the resolution. So in favor of Division 2.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we need to go back to page 2 and actually read the language. We're talking about ground cover here, not in any other context. So in the fact that prairie dogs do destroy ground cover and all that's left is unpalatable feed, it is detrimental to wildlife. We're not talking about the impact of wildlife specifically, but actually about the food source for that wildlife. So we definitely need wildlife in that whereas, and I would speak against the amendment.
Chairman Gingrey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you to vote aye for Division Number 2, primarily for this reason. The 90-day rule went out at the end of December. Actually, public comment ended February 2nd, so I'm not sure why we're doing this, but, you know, here's the problem. At least in the Federal Register, they've listed the black-tailed prairie dog as a keystone species in the state of Wyoming, meaning that whatever direction they believe the prairie dog's going will affect multiple different species, and they've listed a black-footed ferret, the swift fox, the golden eagle, hawks, burrowing owl, and the mountain plover. So they're saying this is a keystone species, and if this species starts going down, all these other species will be affected. By the state of Wyoming sending a statement like this saying that it hurts wildlife, my concern is that the Wyoming's argument so far has been, you know, you don't need to list it as an endangered or a threatened species because the state of Wyoming is managing it correctly, and we're managing it well, so we don't need to do this, need to put it on the threatened or endangered species list. If we send a statement that says this hurts wildlife, I think they may read this as saying that Wyoming is not going to manage well the prairie dog, and they'll be forced to put it on. I think this is actually having an opposite effect of pushing the current administration toward listing them, and I would urge us to go with the amendment, at least tone down the rhetoric of it a little bit so they won't list it.
Chairman Landon, excuse me, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, toning down the rhetoric, whether it be black-tailed prairie dog or any other species, I think that sometimes the way that the Federal Department of Concerning Wildlife manages it, they don't really listen to all aspects of it. And in the case of this resolution, we're trying to point out the habitat problem for all species is important. And if you've got bare ground, there's no other species that wind up showing up. And the prairie dogs themselves expand from the town as far as eating the vegetation, and it's a considerable percentage. And again, I've had personal experience that it isn't just the localized town, it goes way beyond that. And if there's bare ground, with the exception in my case, maybe a few mesquite bushes, and I don't know what they do to sagebrush, but I'll guarantee you they eat all vegetation. So I think that you need to kill the amendment.
The amendment is threatened or endangered. Chairman Landon.
That I share that perception I'm going to come up here and give my best defense of the amendment because, quite frankly, I believe that statement is untrue. Destruction and loss of ground cover is very detrimental to the feed for livestock. That's true. And wildlife, that's not true. Let me, for just a moment, run by everybody a short National Geographic clip. And there you see out in the prairie dog town the rattlesnakes going along, you know. And there you see out in the prairie dog town the coyote crossing the town. As I drive down here, I view a lot of prairie dog towns. And you know what's out there? Antelope. And I think, golly, what are those buggers doing out there? Well, they're eating the little weeds that they find out there. The prairie dog towns green up real early. And it was brought up a habitat problem. Well, I would maintain that the habitat problem is destroying the prairie dog towns that have been evolving for millions of years out on this prairie of ours, and then we come along, and in good means, we wipe out a lot of prairie dog towns, and that's okay. There's plenty of them in my estimation. I don't mind sending this because from where I'm from, we have plenty of prairie dogs up there, and I don't think they need to be listed as endangered. But to tell somebody that this destruction and loss of ground is detrimental to wildlife is just not a true statement, because there's a whole community of wildlife that depend on prairie dog towns, and without them, then it really would be destructive of wildlife. So that's why, this amendment isn't brought for some reason to list prairie dogs or anything, but it's just brought to send off a statement that when others receive it, that they can receive it and say, well, they thought about this, and at least they sent us some true statements. So on and for the amendment, I hope the body considers adopting it.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
What is your point of order, Chair?
My point of order is, I speak about a particular issue, and the opposition can speak about a particular issue. But as far as the truth or untruth, I think it's totally out of line to make statements like that.
Chairman Childers, he simply indicated he did not believe the statement. I don't think it's out of order. I'm sorry to rule that way.
Okay,
thank you. Anyone else for their first time on Division One? For your second time? We are voting on Division 2 to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 4. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor of Division 1, please, or Division 2, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Division 2 to second reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate Joint Resolution 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move consideration of third reading consent list consisting of Senate files 26, 28, 47, 48, 54, and 101.
Would anyone like to remove a bill from the consent list? I'm sorry. There's been a request to remove Senate File 47. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Senate File 47 is removed. Any other bills? The reading clerk, please read the consent list bills through the enactment clause.
Senate File 26, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to elections regarding voter registration deadline. Senate File 28, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to licensing of specified entertainment activities. Senate File 48, introduced by Senator Anderson, game and fish landowner coupon redemption period, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 54, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to physical therapists and licensure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 101, introduced by Senator Hastert, an act relating to mining operations regarding trolling utility shot fire or certification, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds. Harshman excused. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller excused. Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Filth.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 26, are there any changes? Are there any changes? McComey, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Barbudo, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Simlick, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed, 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 28, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 48, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 just a minute, I've got a computer problem. Senate File 48, are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 54, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 101, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Buchanan, aye to no. Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Simpson, Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Lubnow, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 7 noes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 26, 28, 48, 54, and 101 have passed the House. We're at that order of business. The bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 47, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman excused. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller excused. Millen.
Aye.
Moniz. Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Horberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Anderson. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Lockhart. Aye to no. Gilmore. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 12 noes, 2 excused.
Senate File 47, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 47 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 56.
Senate File 56, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance appropriations being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Teeters.
Mr. Speaker, I would suggest that we do the other amendment since mine is a delete the enacting clause.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to withdraw amendment number 2 to Senate File, third reading Senate File 56 in hopes that amendment 4 passes. Thank you.
Third reading amendment number 2 is withdrawn. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to withdraw House Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 56 at this time.
Third reading Amendment Number 3 is withdrawn. Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My apologies for bringing a lengthy amendment on the third reading. But I'll go through it carefully so everyone really understands it, and I would hope that you would support it. But I want you to understand it fully so that when you support it, you're able to explain to your constituents back home why you voted as you did. But before I begin, I want to share a quote with you that I read 2 days ago, and I think it's very appropriate for today. The pessimist complains about the wind. The optimist expects the wind to change. The leader adjusts the sails. The winds have changed in Wyoming, and we are facing, as legislators and as state leaders, a new financial reality. And I think it's important that as we adjust to the new financial reality, that we approach everything that we do with a fine eye for maintaining those things we strongly believe in, but somehow adjusting what we are doing to the realities of what we can afford. And for that reason, what you're going to see, what I'm going to share with you in this amendment, not only am I trying to adjust, along with the good speaker, things that we would just normally adjust, but there's also a component where last year I fought very hard on this floor, along with some of the others of you, to increase the amount of money going to instructional facilitators. And I think that when you do financial adjustments, you don't just look at those programs that you never like to start with. Those of us who believe strongly in programs have to be willing to step forward also to say that we need to adjust to the new reality. And so I'm going to call on all of you as state leaders this morning together to look at the bill that we have before us with Senate File 56. The amendment, the first portion, deals with the school lunches. And I know all of us have been referring to the green handout that was given to us several days ago. And so as I speak and explain what the amendment does, that is what I will be talking about, is based on that green handout that talked about school lunch deficits and per meal allotments, that kind of thing. As you look at the amendment, the first portion, line 14 through 17, deals with, we're going to be looking at school year 2009 and 2010. That's next year. As you think about it, right now we are in a 5-year recalibration period. This year is the third year of that financial model. Next year, The 2009 and 2010 will be the fourth year of that financial model. And so what this amendment does is for that fourth year, it takes the data that you see on the green sheet, and all this amendment does is it says instead of 58 cents state subsidy per meal, we're going to reduce the subsidy by one-third, which works out to be about 18 cents. And so we will drop down to a 40 cents per meal subsidy. So that's what the first part of the amendment does. All of your school districts will have to adjust to the fact that the school subsidy from the state is reduced by one-third. And then it goes, and it's based on these numbers. The reason I wanted it to be based on these numbers is so part of the amendment has always said your deficit or what the state subsidy would be, whichever is less. And I wanted to make sure that we all knew exactly the numbers we were voting on, just as we have in local government finance. Because if we wait for numbers, it gives the schools the opportunity to readjust what their deficits are. And I thought, let's deal with the numbers that are before us. On the next page, it goes forward to give you the amount. Instead of $4,500,000, we will have a state subsidy for the school lunch program of $3,650,000. The reason that that is not an exact third is because some of those school districts, when you compute them, have a lower deficit amount that will be picked than if they had followed the state subsidy. And that's why that amount is not exactly one-third less than the $4.5 million. And then as it goes on, the next part, which is critical, the lines 19 through 26, it talks, this is for, what I've been talking about is for year four in our financial model for schools. Those lines 19 through 26 are about year five. Originally, in year one, when we were doing the recalibration model, our consultants told us school lunch programs should be enterprise funds. They should pay for themselves. And so what this paragraph says is, as our consultant advised us, school lunch programs will be an enterprise, a local enterprise account with federal subsidies. Remember, they all get money from the federal government in order to take care of those children who can't afford their lunches. But there will no longer be state subsidy for our school lunch programs. That paragraph is in preparation for our next recalibration model, and it is based on the recommendations that our consultants gave us when we came up with this recalibration period model. So that's what that portion does. The next part of the amendment deals with the instructional facilitators. And this is the part, as I said, I worked so hard, I believe so firmly in instructional facilitators. When I served on the recalibration committee, it appeared that the recalibration committee was not going to adopt the recommendations of the consultants and even include instructional facilitators. That was the part they were going to leave out. And so a group of us, including my good colleague from Casper, who's not here today, we brokered an idea that the instructional facilitators, because it was a new concept, would be held outside of the model. And that was to ensure that people applying, school districts applying for instructional facilitator funds would only use it for instructional facilitators. And rather than appropriating the full $24 million that the consultants advocated for instructional facilitators, we decided to go with a model of two-thirds of their original recommendation. And so that's what we have lived with for the first 2 years of the recalibration model. Last year, we came back and raised the amount from two-thirds to three-quarters of the consultant's model. That's what we did last year, is we raised it from two-thirds to three-quarters. And so the amendment before you, what it does is it says, and I think there is such strong support, and I'm just thrilled how successful instructional facilitators have been in many specific school districts. But what it says is we're going to roll back to the two-thirds. Now, what's happened to the two-thirds, originally, remember, the consultants advocated $24 million, and we budgeted $16 million. Well, since we're in year three of recalibration, since that first year, the two-thirds has grown because of the amount of salaries that we're giving our teachers and the ECA improving, increasing what they're getting due to inflation. And so the number you see before you is $3,756,000 because, in fact, to fund it at the two-thirds is more money than it was when we originally did our $16 million for it. The reason that I'm bringing this amendment, and the good speaker and I discussed it extensively, everyone, every agency, everyone who receives state funding in the state and tries to deliver state services, including our local school districts, have to deal with this new reality. And so this is, in essence, a first step, and it's a statement to our school districts that we heartily believe that what you're doing is of value to all of us, but all of us have to tighten our belts in various ways, and we have to look closely at our budgets and say, yes, we support instructional facilitators, but you may have to focus where they are serving so that wherever you're having the greatest remediation problems in your district, that's where those instructional facilitators will be focused. I don't want to be casual about this. There may be people who lose their jobs. But on the other hand, we aren't sending the message to the school districts that they can continue to hire more people in the new realities of our world. And so I ask you today to be leaders, to adjust your sails, because I know that that's exactly what you are, and that we must encourage our colleagues and our school boards and our administrators and our teachers to all accept the economic reality. It's neither good nor bad. It is a fact. And for that reason, the good speaker and I have brought this amendment to you, and I would encourage you to support it.
Representative Hallinan, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I thought that maybe I owed the body an explanation why I withdrew my amendment. I think this is a good compromise. It involves facilitators, which I didn't really intend to involve, but every time we vote, we pretty much have to compromise on something. And when I was discussing this issue the other day, the main thing I wanted to say was that we need a transition. And the way my good colleague from the central part of the state or the other side of the mountain from me, the way she described it is a transition. And I think these school administrators and people around the state, they had good reason to believe that these funds would remain exactly the same, because the Senate, the Joint Interim Committee, all of these bodies pretty much have approved this bill that's before us without any change from what we had a year ago. So this gives them an opportunity to realize that the transition is now in place. And they can start working with the ideas that they're not going to have quite as much money in the future as they had before. So I think it's not an abrupt change. I think it's a reasonable change. And one thing I'd remind the body is that I think I've been here, I haven't been here that long, as long as some of the folks here. But I can't remember during that time, and maybe somebody will correct me, there's plenty of time to do that, that we cut an existing program to a lesser amount than it had the year before. I'm not talking about a program that we're proposing. We're talking here about a program that is in place, and we are cutting it. So I think by taking this action, and that's been about 3 years, I can't remember anything like that. By taking this action, if we approve this amendment, we are putting a bell on the cat. We're saying that times have changed. We're in a transition period. We're going to have to look at all the expenditures that we are going to do or that we're going to propose more carefully. And that was my objective the other day on the amendment and for it and the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I want to commend the bringers of this amendment, and I rise on in support of it. I particularly appreciate that it is calm and measured, possessing as well that clarion call for the new reality. We can't do everything that we once could. We may in the future be able to do even less than we're able to do now. But this message, this notice to school districts and to the citizens of Wyoming is reasoned, and it's forceful, and it is brief, and it says, get ready. I was going to say that this is a good steward's amendment. Maybe I should say it's a good sailor's amendment, but I'm on and for it and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Jaggi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I owe the body a little bit of discussion. I've been pretty silent through all of these education issues. It's not silent because I didn't have a lot of thoughts. A lot of things that I'm thinking, starting clear back from a couple speeches we've heard, pretty negative toward education and saying we're not getting our money's worth, and not sure I agree with all that was said, but I do think, well, maybe the wind is blowing as started out, and these things just need to come. But I'm really been torn on Senate File 56. If you'll, now let me just tell you, I am a supporter of education, and I hope you know that. I've been in education, and I've had a lot of emails saying you're an educator. How are you going to vote? What you're going to do? Give us all this money. And I used to think just like them when I was back in high school, thinking, why didn't my predecessor tell or just vote the way I wanted him, and the one before him, and the one before him? All of a sudden, I'm here, and it's not quite as easy as I thought it was. And I've come to have a lot of respect for legislators. But last year, if you remember, I voted on Senate File 70, and I was a little bit upset with $11 million tacked on to $114 billion. And I just thought, my goodness, let's live within our budgets. And as the first speaker said, the facilitators weren't funded all the way. And, you know, it was one of the things that we were trying to do with that. But I just said I really didn't want to vote for another $11 million this coming year. And so I've been really torn with this and getting a lot of people telling me, now you're an educator, you remember how to vote, but I also have a responsibility. And this year's picture just isn't as bright as it was. 4 years ago, we had $1 billion extra. And boy, did we fund all agencies within reason. And they were wants. Everybody wanted something. And I think the legislature 4 years ago gave a lot of wants. And 2 years ago we had $500 million, and we still gave a lot of wants. Unfortunately, those wants turned into needs. And now we're back saying, well, what we wanted before is absolutely necessary today. And the wind is blowing and it's changing, and I think this kind of helps it to do this. I do worry about our spending, and I think we just have had big increases. And I'm not only talking education, but I'm talking every agency. And I appreciate the governor's outlook saying it's time for everybody to look 5-10%. Let's look at cutting back some of these expenses we've given and realize they're really not needs. They're good things, and I'm not knocking the things we've done. But I do think we need to be responsible, and that's why I was so torn about Senate File 56. And I said, I'm not voting for it, and I said, I'm voting for it. And I'm kind of like my good buddy here. I was for it just before I talked against it or whatever it was, but now I am for this amendment, and I hope that as we go forward, we can start looking at wants that we had, and they're really not needs, and we're going to have to be looking at those. Hopefully the economic future isn't going to be as bleak in the coming years, but I still think we need that fiscal responsibility, not only in agencies, or not only in education, but in all our departments and agencies. So I guess I just conclude speaking for the amendment.
I think I said Jaggy before, and I really meant Yaggy.
I knew who you meant.
Thank you. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I have a question on the amendment. And I'm dealing with the economics of the amendment. And I guess specific to that, I'm looking at line number 20 on page 1 down through 29 and down to 34. And I gather that this amendment is cutting the amount that we spend down by a third, which means that evidently the per meal rebate or subsidy is in the neighborhood of 36 cents or something like that now. And the issue that many of us were concerned with in the original bill was what does this do to incentives, and how do we judge good management? Now, if we take, for example, that an ideal manager is one that breaks even, that has no deficit, no deficits whatsoever, and the costs equal the revenue, under the scheme that's described here in the middle of page one, he wouldn't be, that school district wouldn't be entitled to a penny of subsidy, because it's the less of whatever you lose or that 36 cents or the whatever the reduction was of 18 cents. It's a fixed amount. So what have we done? We've turned around a good manager. An ideal manager is one that runs his enterprise in such a way that he loses an amount each year equal to what the state wants to reimburse them for. You see what I'm getting at? I mean, a good manager no longer is a manager that breaks even. In fact, what he's doing is he's either charging his students a little bit too much money for their meal, or he's serving them a little less plush of cuts in the menus, right? So I don't think this really fixes it. I guess I can say that the amendment is better because it's only two-thirds the cost of what the other one was, but it still has the moral hazard of causing what otherwise would be a good manager to turn into a poor manager or a money-losing manager. And that's why I'm a little bit lukewarm towards this amendment, unless I've been I didn't interpret it right, and I might get an answer to this issue. Thank you.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Just real quickly, I wanted to make a comment. I on the amendment, I think it is a nice compromise. I'll be interested to hear the answer to the previous question, but I do think that everyone worked together and came up with an interesting comment. The good representative from House District 18, the retired educator, got up and spoke. And I think on this amendment and on everything else, when we're talking about education or really anything, I always hate to hear the things that, you know, the words that we are being negative. And I continue to be the voice that gets up and challenges all of us. I prefer to think of it more along the lines of honing our critical thinking skills. The good representative who brought this bill talked about, adjusting the sails. You can't adjust the sails on a sailboat unless you know what's going on around you and you ask questions and how the wind is going and what the current's doing. I've been on a sailboat. It's quite frightening. And people are yelling at you and you go this way and that way. But you have to have a lot of data and a lot of information. And continue to say it is not negativity for this body to be critical. It is not negative for this body to ask questions and demand answers and to constantly be doing that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'd like to talk about two or three subjects, and one of them is, of course, our finances. And we've been down here and I've heard a lot of this, the sky is falling rhetoric. And looking what's coming out of Washington, I think I better put on a hard hat as well as have an umbrella. So I think maybe there is a lot of reason to be concerned. In answer to the good gentleman's question from over there in the Buffalo area, the last part of that amendment on the food service says, this is your last opportunity. As of next year, food service will have to be an enterprise fund. There will be no subsistence from the state of Wyoming. That's what I felt was the key part of that amendment. I'd like to talk a little bit about our finances. And we talk about the OPEL hub price and how it's affecting us. One thing we have to realize as a body is the people that build these pipelines, before they build that pipeline, they go out and they get contracts. And these contracts are fixed prices, or they couldn't afford to build those pipelines. The worry is, as our national economy drops, the demand for the gas in those pipelines, where they've got a fixed price of $5 or $7, and the 20% that's left, the little small producers are the guys that are really taking it. When that demand falls and our volume falls, and when we're shutting down these factories, that's where I think we really need to have a good, strong umbrella. Now, talking about this, I'm on and for this amendment, which probably is going to surprise a lot of people, because I am very strong for school facilitators. I think that's the best thing we've ever done for our schools. But I have in front of me Statute 2113312. And the title of that is Prorating Payments When Income from Foundation Account is Insufficient. And the Department of Education came to us during our interim topics discussion and said to the Education Committee, we would like this to be one of your interim topics to work with us, how we take down what we're paying for schools. And it says, to preserve the integrity of the foundation account for the biennium, and so that payments can be made during the full school year for each year in the biennium, if it appears to the state superintendent that the income available to the foundation program account is not sufficient to meet the payments as provided by law, 1, the state superintendent shall determine a uniform percentage by which the amount guaranteed to each district under this statute, under Statute 2113309, shall be reduced so that the available revenues in the foundation program account for the school year are nearly as equal as possible, equal to the amount necessary to fund the payments to the districts. The revenue to be rebated under this Wyoming statute shall be adjusted based upon the guaranteed amount of that district determined as determined under paragraph AI, which is this statute that I just read. We have the mechanism in place, ladies and gentlemen. And now's the time that we need to start doing it. And I commend the fine lady from just above the hot springs for bringing an amendment like this. And I commend the body for the questions that have been asked and all of the other discussion that we've had. And we've had a long discussion on this. On and for the amendment.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I appreciate the spirit of compromise, and we have definitely stimulated some good conversation on the amendment, and in specific reference to what the good Chairman of Education was talking to with 2113312, where we're discussing in interim very seriously the potential of prorating our payments to the foundation. I go back to the fact that everything in this bill is off the model, and I think it's extremely important for us to remember that that is a drastic step that I hope that we do not have to take. We may very well be in that situation very soon. This is one level above that. I mean, when the Supreme Court said you need a cost-based model, and we came up with this model that was way up here. The court said you need to be here. We reached as high as we possibly could when we set the model that we have now. And it's extremely schizophrenic in my mind to be talking about prorating payments from the foundation, and here we are talking about off model that's above and beyond. And so the schizophrenic conversation that we're having concerns me a little, but I appreciate the spirit of compromise, and I would ask you to support the amendment.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Turn the clock back a couple of months when we all came here and we had a budget surplus. And of course, the good news was from our original message in our budget book, and at least I told all of my constituents that we would be able to maintain our budgets that we have. We wouldn't be working on any budget cuts. And that we would be responsible spending the money that we had available. And now we're faced with what would appear to be a very surgical strike on education for some very precise budget cuts. And I'm faced with how I will answer the questions when I go back home. Why was education the only department or area where we made a decision to cut some budgets? And at this point, I'm struggling with how I will answer that question and say, well, you know, why couldn't we come up with some other budget cuts in another agency, or why was it only education?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I appreciate the good representative from Moreland working on this. It sends some important messages that we need to send. It doesn't necessarily go far enough in some of the respects that I would like to see with regard to the school foundation program and off model issues. But we will have those discussions another day, I'm sure. And I think that sending the message that these are enterprise funds, you need to treat them as enterprise funds and programs, and that's a good message to send. And a message that also says we can anticipate cuts. These are cuts on off-model things that aren't in the model. There will be recalibration, and it's an appropriate compromise at this time. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, would you clarify, were you speaking for or against?
I was for the
amendment.
Did I say against?
Yeah.
Well, I was wrong. I certainly meant for. I wouldn't want the good sponsor of the amendment to think I just bailed out on her, but I am strongly for the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Patton.
Boy, am I glad to clear that up. Speaking on the amendment, essentially for information, if I understand the amendment, and I need some help in understanding. We're cutting the reimbursement on page 1, line 26, we're in 26 through 28. We're cutting the amount of reimbursement by a fixed figure of 18 cents. Is all of the reimbursement calculated on a fixed amount, or is there a variable with the various districts? Is it... listening to the economist from, and I don't mean that demeaningly, the economist by stature from Johnson County, really spurred the thought. Now, wait a minute, if we're cutting it by an exact amount, then you're cutting it for those districts that may be efficient, as opposed to those that are inefficient. And if that is the case, why? I would just like to know how that mathematics actually works. Thank you.
Hey, anybody else for the first time? for their second time. Representative Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. There's been some words used here that I think I need to do a little explanation, and I'll do it real quick. When we talk about off model, and when we talk about out of the model, school facilitators are part of the model, but we move them out of the model to fund them appropriately, so that the school districts didn't get the money and could do whatever they wanted to do with it. School lunch programs are off the model. They were never part of the model. So off the model but outside of the model mean two different things, and I thought maybe I needed to stand up here and explain this to the body so they'd understand the difference.
Anybody else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. In respect to my colleagues that asked questions, I'm just going to briefly talk about the portion of how we reimburse for school lunches. The current system is they figure a state average for how much is charged, how much the districts are charging, and then the bill that we had before us that they worked on the interim reduced that by 10%, and they came up with a state average, and that was the 58-cent subsidy per meal. And so all this bill does, or this amendment rather, is it takes that 58 cents and reduces it by a third and brings it down to 40 cents, which is the 18 cents difference. Now, as to the question as to encouraging efficiency, as I look at this and see this magnitude of the deficits all around the state, I don't think efficiency has really been a consideration to the magnitude that we would desire. And by having the part of it, the amendment that brings them to being local enterprises and having a year to figure out how to do that, I would anticipate that. I thought the good economist had a good question with regard to the incentives, and that is why what we're doing is based on this green sheet. And remember, it's whichever is lower, their current deficit or the state reimbursement model of what would be 40 cents per meal. So those school districts that are already efficient, that's the amount that they're given by the state. And so we are not discouraging efficiency. That's taken care of with the model, those who are already in there. And that's why we also kept it with this page, so that they couldn't go back in and change it so that they would increase their deficits and to their advantage. That's what we were trying to do. And as to the one question about is why education, why is that all that we're cutting, I'd like to take you back to January when we all arrived. There were so many things that we did in the Appropriations Committee room that you never saw. The decisions that were made first when the governor presented his budget in December, and then we asked him to present a new supplemental budget in January, there were numerous cuts made in that. And then our committee continued to make cuts. And so what we have today is they weren't cuts, they were choices not to increase funding with our supplemental budget. And so it's not just education. But in fact, as we anticipate at least a 5% cut for all of the agencies in January, which the governor will be doing with the legislature's, with the bill that we passed with the budget amendment, as we do that, we have to include all agencies, and that means education. And my last comment I want to say to all of you this morning is thank you, thank you, thank you for the tone of discussion. It was with such respect. I cannot thank all of you who spoke this morning at the microphones for doing that. Please vote for the amendment and for the bill.
Calling the question on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 56. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passed. Representative Teeters, we have Senate third reading amendment. Representative Childers, did you want a privilege of the floor?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you feel any eagle eyes pressing on you as far as the way this bill ought to go, it's with good reason. I'd like to welcome a former representative, Jeff Waschenberger.
Representative Wasserberger, it's nice to see you today, but I am quite disappointed, and I know that former Representative Peg Shreve would be disappointed, too, that you don't have a tie on in the gallery. It's good to see you, Jeff, it was fun having you here on the floor back in the Campbell County corner back there. It's nice to see you. Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would reluctantly withdraw third reading amendment number one.
Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 56 is withdrawn. Senate File 56, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman excused. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller excused. Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton. Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 50 ayes, 8 noes, 2 excused.
Senate File 56, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 56 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message 385 on House Bill 39. Chairman Illaway?
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message 385 to House Bill 39 and ask you to vote no. What the other body did, excuse me, I'm a little out of breath.
Well, you did run 30 feet. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Down. On page 8 of the bill, line 12 is 12-4101, authorities of cities, towns, and counties, and this refers to alcoholic beverage. And what the other body has done was to delete this section. And this is... this is not what we want to do. I've talked to the good chairman of the select committee, and we really need to go back and find out why they did what they did. So I ask you to vote no on this concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, we're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 39. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman excused. Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Fine.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubno.
No.
Madden. Madden. McKim. McKim?
No.
McComey.
No.
Mercer. Meyer. Miller excused. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Patton? Peasley. Patterson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Madden.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 no's, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 39. The next message for our
Mr. Speaker?
Excuse me. Chairman McComey?
Could I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Speaker, probably one of the best chairmen that I ever served under is here in the body today. Taught me a lot about education. I didn't know anything about it. And he is just, you know, I just can't say enough about the gentleman. But I'd like to tell you, Campbell County is very lucky to have such a person in their educational system. And with that, I'd like to introduce my boss, Jeff Wasserberger.
Wow. Former Representative Wasserberger, you may have privilege of the floor.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it's an honor to call you Mr. Speaker. It is, truly. And so it's neat to see you in the chair. I always said that I was never going to be one of those guys that stood up here and gave a speech, but I'm down here today to catch you up to date where I've been the last 4 years. I left the legislature to start work on my doctorate, and I'm almost finished. I'm getting close, getting very close. And my doctoral dissertation is on instructional facilitators, so if you cut the funding on it, I don't have anything to study. So kind of hang with me for a year, would you please? But I do think we're going to have some excellent research on instructional facilitators, and that should be coming out next fall. Outside of that, I did speak to, about 3 weeks ago, to the National Council of State Legislatures, their education committee, on school finance policy and federal education policy, and would like to relay to you that there were about 50 legislators there. They were committee chairmen and speakers of the House and presidents of the Senate and that type of thing, and they are going through drastic cuts. And so listening to them, they were closing prisons, releasing prisoners, trying to make budgets balance. And it's a tough situation out there. I was on the floor for 6 years when we had a $100 million deficit. And the only thing I'm going to advise you is if we face that in Wyoming, whatever you do, it will be the best thing. I'll support it, but leave your hard feelings at your desk at the end of the day. So make sure you do that. Make sure you maintain your relationships on this floor. And we might be facing some tough times. But anyway, we'll see on down the road. I'm here today to speak to some doctoral students from the University of Wyoming. We'll be meeting in room 302. You're welcome to come. They're Dr. Bill Burby's class, and it's kind of like the governor asking you, will you do something for him? Dr. Burby is the chairman of my dissertation committee, so I'm here today. So thank you very much.
Jeff, it's nice to see you back at your old microphone. You have been missed, and have a good day today. We are, the next message for our consideration is message number 386 on House Bill 97. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to the amendments on House Bill 97 and ask for your no vote. Members of the body, the first part of the amendment in 4010-121 under the Department of Agriculture duties and powers, this was a standing committee amendment that we worked on in the House Ag Committee, and this part of the concurrence is fine. This was just a further refinement of the House Standing Committee that we put on, and we certainly don't see any problem with that. In regard to the next page on the concurrence under item C, the other body has inserted some language in here in regard to the Department of Ag shall have no authority over weights and measures used for weighing livestock when the livestock are weighed pursuant to a written agreement between the parties using the weighing devices. Conceptually, we think that's fine. We just think that the amendment that the other body put on is somewhat narrow, particularly in light, members of the House, of us passing House Bill 16, the cottage food industry. We could see where we would go back to the other body and ask them to kind of expand this authority to allow, some exemption for weighing and measuring for other things besides just livestock, as long as it would, they have a written agreement between the two parties using the weighing device. So it's not a real burning issue, but I think our responsibility here is to have, kind of all-encompassing legislation that would include all things, particularly in view of the fact that we passed the cottage food industry bill. So, Mr. Speaker, I would ask that you vote no on this. We'll go back and talk about this to the other body. Thank you.
Representative Wallace, did you want a first time? Anyone else for their first time or second time? Chairman Illaway, would you come see me? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 97. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby, no. Barbuto,
no.
Berger,
no.
Blake,
no.
Bonner,
no.
Brechtel,
no.
Brown,
no.
Buchanan,
no.
Bird,
no.
Kennedy,
no.
Carson,
no.
Childers,
no.
Cohey,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
no.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales, Hallinan,
no.
Hammonds,
no.
Harshman excused, Harvey,
no.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
no.
Landon,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Mercer,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Miller excused, Millen,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp,
no.
Philp,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Semlich,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 no's, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 97. The next message for our consideration is message number 387 on House Bill 134. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 387 for House Bill 134 and ask for your aye vote. There are two parts to this amendment. The very first part is basically a simple change from using the word permanent use restriction, changing it over to conservation easement. But even more importantly, going down to Section 3 at the base of the amendment, I really have strong support for this, and that's each conservation easement authorized under this Act shall include the state of Wyoming as a third-party beneficiary with the right to enforce the terms of the agreement, and if the easement is transferred or extinguished, the right to recover the state's pro rata share of funds provided for the creation of the easement up to 100% of the funds granted by the state for the creation of the easement. What this body needs to realize that this house had long discussions about the conservation easement issue in being included in the large or in the natural resource projects. And this basically sets it up much better, in my opinion, and others, for giving the state a part of the conservation easement. Again, I ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I just have a question, and perhaps are those two phrases interchangeable that easily? Permanent use restriction as opposed to a conservation easement? And I'd just like an answer to that, Mr. Chair or Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I believe I can respond to that question. They are not exactly interchangeable. However, what we are dealing with here are conservation easements, and I think the language is more appropriate than permanent use restriction. It's a closer parallel to what we're doing, and actually, a conservation easement is a broader term than permanent use restriction, a little bit broader, and they're almost interchangeable. But if I were going to say, well, is one stronger than the other, I'd say conservation easement is stronger, and it does parallel what we're acquiring, and I think it's the proper language to use.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess in response to that question, are the individuals that are involved in these projects, have they agreed to the terminology of permanent use restriction, or are they now going to be come back and faced with having a conservation easement, Mr. Speaker?
For your second time, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I haven't read them all. The ones I read were agreements for a conservation easement. And just by way of illustration, a permanent use restriction could be development rights. Could say that the state owns the development rights. And development rights could be defined as a restriction on some activities on property, but not all. So it's really a subset of conservation easement. And the ones that I read did say specifically conservation easement, which is why I said before that I thought that this more closely paralleled what the state was acquiring.
Anyone else for their second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 134. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson. Carson. Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman excused. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lebno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller excused. Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Carson. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 134. The next message for our consideration is message number 389 on House Bill 183. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message 389 in relation to House Bill 183, military tuitions, tuition assistance. You know, Mr. Speaker, when I first came down here, I took the place of a remarkable woman that gave me a lot of incredible advice when I came, and she said, you know, you have to watch the people of the Senate. They're like a lot of puppies. They run around and, well, piddle on everything. But frankly, Mr. Speaker, in this case, I guess they get an A for succinctness. What they have done is removed almost entirely page 2, and they have removed page 3 and changed it with one paragraph, which basically means the same thing. So after some consultation with the sponsor of the bill, we both agree that it does no harm nor much good to the bill, aside from what it is, because it is a remarkable bill, and I would ask for your favorable vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 183. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbuto. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Carson. Aye. Childers. Aye. Cohey. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Kraft. Aye. Davison. Dirks, aye. Edmonds, aye. Esquivel, aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, aye. Hammonds, aye. Harshman excused, Harvey, Harvey, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lubno, aye. Madden, no. Madden, no. McKim, aye. McComey, Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller excused, Millen, aye. Moniz, aye. Patton, aye. Peasley, aye. Patterson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Korberg, aye. Roscoe, aye. Semlich, aye. Shepperson, aye. Stewart, Stewart, Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Steward.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 183. The next message for our consideration is message number 394 on House Bill 236. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 394 to House Bill 236 and request your aye vote. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, the Senate amended our school facilitators, school finance instructional facilitator bill, and then they amended it, and then they amended it. And then on third reading, they came to their senses and they put it back to the way that it was. They deleted all their amendments. The only amendment that was left was one by the good senator from the Afton country, which put the bill pretty well back to what we had it when we heard it in committee. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I'd stand for any questions.
Anyone else for their first time? And for their second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 236. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman excused. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lebno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer. Meyer. Miller excused. Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Horberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 236. The next message for our consideration is message number 391 on House Bill 255. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 391 to House Bill 255 and ask for your aye vote. Mr. Speaker, the Senate picked up that we don't lease kindergartens. We have at least one full day. We had misspelled leased to lease, and that's the only change that there was. And Mr. Speaker, I'd like to tell everybody why I'm always talking to the back of their heads. When I was up in your chair one time, I got a whole bunch of notes telling me I should powder my forehead because it was blinding everybody, so I've chose to be back here so you wouldn't be blinded.
Thanks for that clarification. We're voting on the... Is anyone else for their first time? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 255. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner. Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman excused, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway, Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller excused, Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 255. The next message for consideration is message number 292 on House Bill 281. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe that's message 392. I move concurrence on message 392 to House Bill 281, telemedicine state system. Like the good chairman from House District 35, we have some interesting folks across the rotunda. Anyway, I move concurrence. They have added an S. They have added an S on organizations, so I move concurrence and ask for an aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? But we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 281. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Hannity.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman excused. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller excused. Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Heasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 281. I would like to announce a couple conference committees here, please. On House Bill 288, Chair Lockhart, Stewart, and Stubson. That's 288, Chair Lockhart, Stewart, and Stubson. On House Bill 297, Chair Wallace with Moniz and Carson. That's House Bill 97, Chair Wallace with Moniz and Carson. House Bill 39, Chair Cohey with Lubno and Peasley. That's House Bill 39, Chair Cohey with Lubno and Peasley. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m.